As we start our lesson this morning, I want to speak with you about the fear of the Lord. And we think of that as reverence and awe for God. On the picture on the board, of course, you have the idea of Moses at the burning bush. And this was the time when God called Moses. And as he approached the bush that was burning but not consumed, the Lord said, "This is holy ground. Take off your shoes." Moses had the reverence for God that he needed. So that's what we want to do this morning. I want to make a distinction between young people who go to a horror movie and get so scared and they're so fearful. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a combination of things with regard to the reverence of God and the awe that we have in the knowledge of God. And so we'll be looking at these things this morning. What does it mean to have the fear of God? People often ask that question. And I'm reading something here. The unbeliever, the fear of God is the fear of judgment of God and eternal death. And I'm not sure that they feel that as much as they should. If the unbeliever would really fear God, they would clean up their lives and come back to God. So we need to have an understanding that there's a difference in the fear of an unbeliever and the fear of a Christian. And it goes on to say, for the believer, this fear of God is something much different. The believer's fear is reverence for God, and Hebrews 12 is spoken of there in verses 28 and 29, is a good description. And so the scripture says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe." God is a consuming fire. So this reverence and awe is exactly what the fear of God means to Christians. It's a motivating factor for us to surrender our lives to the Lord. We have an awe of God. And when you think of the fact that I'm a child of God, the God that created the entire universe, He calls me His child and He calls you His child. What an awe it is to think that the God of all creation has reached down to us and allowed us to enter His presence. And we think of that. And so this fear of the Lord is motivated, first of all, by love. That's an element that has to be there, not just fear. But then obedience, because we humble ourselves before God, an understanding of His mighty works that I've just been talking about, His person and personality. And having studied some things about the Greeks and Romans, I often think about the difference between the God Jehovah and the gods of the pagans. They were so sinful in so many ways. They were so egotistical in so many ways. I wouldn't want to be under that kind of a God. But when you think about the righteousness of God, the fairness of God, the love of God, it truly is a blessing to have that relationship with Him. And it is more than respect and includes an understanding of the superiority of the spiritual over the carnal. And yes, we do that when we worship in the Lord on Sunday morning. We're here because we recognize a spiritual responsibility and a spiritual connection above the carnal. As Brother Sam said, the Cowboys played last night. But I'm persuaded that a lot of people are still in bed this morning and they don't worship God because they had such a night of pleasure watching the Cowboys win a game. And that's the carnal thing. It's, after all, just a game. Now, people get really caught up in that sort of thing, but it certainly is just a game. So we talk about the fear of the Lord in ourselves. The early church had that, and we have scripture to talk about it. In Acts 9:31, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. And so we have the idea of fear and comfort being mixed together. And that's nothing that happens in this world. You don't ever have fear and comfort in this world. But truly, when the Christians of the first century had an awe of God, it brought them comfort, especially when they were being persecuted. Then again, the church at Philippi in Philippians 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And I think that's just something that we need to take to heart. I don't want to be lost. A friend of mine, when he preached, would say, if you've missed heaven, you've missed all that there is. And that's so very true. I cannot imagine what it would be like if we missed heaven. The thought of never singing a song again with saints, the idea of never having a prayer, the ability to pray, and nobody's going to be praying for hell because God won't be listening. And so there's a certain amount of fear there and trembling that, what if I missed heaven? And I can't escape that, although I don't want my whole life to be one of fear and trembling. It is the comfort, the fact that the Holy Spirit has told us how to get to heaven. And we can have that hope and we can have that comfort. So from the early church even till today, we have the fear and reverence of God. When Job was talking to man, he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Been a lot of questions in the past about how much Old Testament characters knew about God. Well, they had, some of them, the very presence of God speaking in their life. And so they knew about God. David in his Psalms often talked about heaven. And so, yes, they had a concept of God in those things. And it included the fear of the Lord. And you can well imagine at the times that Israel was being overrun by people that were antagonistic to the Israelites, sometimes because of their sins. Nevertheless, when God intervened, they recognized that God was on their side. And I want to tell you, it's a good thing to feel and to understand that God is on our side. Or maybe better said, we're on God's side, because that's the only side we need to be on. And when you think about these words, and it's something that you need to take to heart just like I do. The fear of the Lord. Fear and trembling. And I don't want to be just an abject subject that is just afraid of God. But there's a reverent fear. And so there's a combination of emotions. Not just fear itself, like you would be afraid if somebody broke into your house. But it's a combination of fear and love and obedience. And just a recognition of who and what God is. That's going to help us to understand. In Matthew 10:28, Jesus said, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And there's an element of that in fear, even when we are having reverence. The idea that so many people fail to understand is the idea that God is going to send everybody to heaven. And that's certainly not what God is going to do. Come right in. Come right in. We're glad that you're here. So as we consider the idea of fear and trembling, you have to really have a sense of a real combination of things. And as we have those combinations of feelings, there's love, and there's obedience, and there's the record of who he is and what he is and what he's done. But then also there has to be a little fear about torment. I don't want to go to hell. Now that's real. And that's something that we need to understand. I don't want to go there. Well, what's the difference? Well, the difference is that I see God and I know what he's doing for me. And I have great reverence for the plan of God. When you think about the Bible itself, you think about the reverence we have for the Word of God. So many different writers that wrote the Bible together, centuries apart, sometimes millennium apart, and they all have the same theme. And that theme is recognized in Genesis chapter 3, whenever Adam and Eve fell into transgression, and then the promise in verse 15 that through the seed of woman, Satan would be destroyed. And so you see this theme all through the Old Testament into the New Testament of how God is going to save the sinners. The book of Romans that we're studying on Wednesday night deals with the idea that God had in his mind a plan of salvation when man fell. And we're experiencing that today. Brother Sam pointed out about a young lady being baptized last Sunday night. And we want to bring as many souls as we can to the Lord. And speaking with that young lady, she found us on the website. And so we now are able to understand that the website is really doing some good. And we hope and pray that you'll continue to share with your friends and neighbors the little card that will tell you how to get to the website. And I'm currently having two students in a correspondence course. So it will keep doing things as we have opportunity. And so the fear of the Lord bears with us maybe three main points. You know, that's a scriptural sermon. Every scriptural sermon has three points. A long-winded preacher might have four or five, but a scriptural sermon has about three. So we define the fear of the Lord, and then why the fear of the Lord is important to the Christian, and how we can develop a healthy fear of the Lord. I don't want to have a cringing fear of the Lord. He's our Father. And we shouldn't have a cringing fear of our fleshly fathers. But at the same time, our Heavenly Father is something that we need to fear in that way. And so when we look at this word again, it's found in the Hebrew as well as the Greek. In the Hebrew, it means fear and terror. Awesome are terrifying things, an object causing fear. And of course, many times that has to do with fear of carnal things in the Old Testament. In the Greek, it's the word phobos, and so you have a phobia about something, and that's what we're talking about. Fear and dread, terror, that which strikes terror. And you find sometimes people that truly are afraid of God. And so we've put together this definition of fear as a combination of reverence and love. And that creates that sense of awesomeness. And that creates a sense of reverential fear. So we need it. It's something we really need to have. We need to be humble about ourselves. And it should include a place for trembling. When you think of the mighty God and all the things that he's done throughout history, you think of, I think, for example, in the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel, when Daniel saw the handwriting on the wall, and the king, it says in Scripture, his knees smote together. That's how we get the idea of trembling knees. And he was terrified of something that God was explaining about himself. You're weighed in the balances and you're found wanting. Now, folks, that's the place for fear, when you're found wanting. And so it includes a place like that. And a trembling or quaking with fear. But with us, it's an humble attitude toward our Creator. I know that He's a Creator and I'm a creature. And because of that, I have a certain position about Him in my mind. And I'm not going to have that with regard to anyone else. A proper fear of the Lord would be, as we say, reverence and awe. And being afraid to offend God. This is where the conscience comes in. And once you have an understanding of God, an understanding that we're creatures, and that God is going to hold us accountable, then there should be a fear of offending God. I don't want to have God offended because of what I do. I don't want to be in the position of thinking that God is angry with me. And in the Psalms that we read this morning in chapter 11, the idea that God hates some people. He hates the wicked. And I don't want to be among those. And so we need to really examine ourselves and understand exactly where we stand. And a trembling if one knew that they offended God and have not obtained His forgiveness. Now, that we need to really talk about that this morning. Are you truly a Christian? Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Have you looked at yourself and recognized your sins and inside, you change your mind about sin. In the past, you might have enjoyed it, but now then that you're a believer in Christ, you change your mind and change your life. That's the real idea of repentance. And then the attitude that I'm not ashamed to tell you my faith in God. The Bible calls that confession. And the confession is spoken of in the book of Romans as a vocal confession that you believe in Jesus as the Son of God. Have you ever done that? Have you ever really stated to people, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ and I want to be a Christian? And then, of course, being baptized for the remission of sins. Someone told me this morning there was a Baptist preacher on the air, I think Mary told me this, Charles Stanley. And of course, their main doctrine, there are two of them, their main doctrine is salvation by faith alone. And then they say, no matter what you do, ever, you're sealed, and once you're saved, you'll always be saved. And that's such a terrible lie. It has people convicted that they can't do anything that would cause them to be lost. And there have been many debates about that. I'd rather have debated Baptist preachers and others who believe in once saved, always saved. And some have been converted from that. But the majority of the religious groups today accept the idea that once I'm saved, I'm always saved. And that's fallacy, because it's not true. So let's turn to the book of Hebrews and notice a few things that would help us understand that. In Hebrews chapter 10, as the writer is speaking with regard to us and our being edified, beginning with verse 26. Now, the verse 25, just before that, is not forsaking yourselves from the assemblies. And sometimes people get caught up on, what is the day that's approaching? It doesn't matter. If it's the day of assembly, let's assemble. If it's the day of judgment, we need to be found assembling either way. So forget about the day. Whatever day that is, let me be found faithful. And this is something each of us needs to take to heart. But then he goes on in warning in verse 26. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment, fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Brethren, I believe this is the unforgivable sin. The Bible talks about an unforgivable sin. Well, there's only one plan of salvation. And if you reject that plan of salvation, there's nothing else. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Well, if I understand that and I reject that, there's no way for me ever to be saved. Because as long as you reject God through Jesus Christ, then you cannot be saved. And we need to be aware of the fact that some have done that. Then in chapter 10, dropping down to verse 30, for we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now that has the element of fear in it. Now you've got to combine that with something else to have reverence. But the idea of fear is, if I fall in the hands of God and I'm not prepared. You know, the Bible says about those who are going to go to heaven, Jesus says, enter into the joys of the Lord. You want to hear that? I do. I want to hear that at the judgment day. But there's another thing. Jesus said to those who are not going to be saved, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Now, those are the two choices, and you're making those choices even as we speak. If you do not obey the gospel, if you put off doing what's right, you're leading yourself into that situation where God will say, I never knew you. You never acknowledged me. You never confessed me. Depart. Do you want to hear that? Now, that's the kind of fear that I believe that would lead to that kind of understanding. Then in chapter 12 and in verse 28 beginning, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." So that's the life of a Christian. That's what we go through life. Rejecting some things because we know they're sinful. Doing good deeds because we know that's what God wants us to do. And so it's important then that we understand that combination. From the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 7, "Fear the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Because I understand, I don't know things apart from revelation. And God's book is the revelation. But then the writer goes on to say, in chapter 8, verse 13, that a fear of the Lord will cause one to hate evil. And I believe that the Christian has to have as much hate in his heart as he does love. But understand what I'm saying. To the degree that you love God, to that same degree you've got to hate evil and depart from it. Don't include me in those evil things. If you have to stand by yourself, you'll stand because you have a fear of the Lord. I'm not going to transgress God for anybody. Then in chapter 10, verse 27, he said that the fear of the Lord would prolong life. Well, what in the world how does that happen? Well, if you fear the Lord and keep His commandments, you're not going to get drunk. You're not going to do drugs. You're not going to try to murder somebody and get murdered yourself. You're just going to have a better life because you're a Christian. And I tell you, it's a good thing to have a Christian as your neighbor, because you can trust that one who fears God and he's not going to do you harm. And so that's the idea of prolonging life. In chapter 14, 26 through 27, it said, "Provide strong confidence." And I wish for all of us to have that. Have a strong confidence that I'm going to heaven. And as I said so many times, I'm not going to heaven because I'm perfect, because I'm not. But I can go to heaven because I've been forgiven. And I want each of you to look into your heart this morning and answer the question, have I truly obeyed the gospel? Have I been forgiven? You see, when you've had the fear of the Lord and you hear the Great Commission, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." If you believe that and you have the fear of the Lord, you'd want to do that. But so many people turn a blind eye to the Great Commission and don't obey that. But when you have become a Christian, you have the strong confidence that you can go to heaven. And then it prompts one to depart from evil, chapter 16 and verse 6. And I understand that. You know, our world is in pretty bad shape. America is in pretty bad shape. I'm seeing and hearing things that I didn't believe possible when I was a young fellow. I'm hearing such a wickedness. I won't repeat what this Muslim woman said about President Trump, but it was vulgar. Vulgar beyond understanding. How can anybody who claims to have any religion at all speak so vulgarly about another person? But it's out there. It's everywhere. You can hear, you can't hardly turn on the television without hearing vulgar comments. And you look at the television and every kind of dance and immorality is being shown on television. And people are proud of it. And again, I'm not a prophet. But I can tell you that God does not like abortion. Do you realize that, and I won't even call the name of the party, I want to be bipartisan, but the first bill that was passed in Congress by the House this year was more funding of Planned Parenthood. You see, people don't care about murder. They don't care about the life of innocence. 41 million abortions took place in 2018. 41 million. It's above my comprehension. And I've even seen things on the internet where a doctor would say it gives him great pleasure to abort children. It's just beyond comprehension. So you see, if you have the fear of the Lord, you're not going to be a part of that. You couldn't even begin to do one of them, much less 41 million. And so you see these things, and the fear of the Lord would cause us to depart from that kind of evil. And it leads, chapter 19, verse 23 says, to a satisfying life. And I can testify to that. Now, I'm in my 80s, and I recognize, looking back, on the kind of life that I could have lived. But through the godliness of my mother, I found a better way. And I'm satisfied with all my faults, but with forgiveness. I have a satisfying life. I'm headed for heaven. I'm not bragging. I'm simply saying, by the grace of God, the faith of individuals, that I can go to heaven. And that's so satisfying, isn't it? So these are the things that help us understand that. And of course it says that fear of God is the way to riches and honor and life. I think that was especially true in the Old Testament, where Abraham is an example. As God made promises to Abraham, He caused by his power to make Abraham a wealthy man. And the Israelites inherited a land that was not theirs, but it was filled with of milk and honey, houses that they had not built. They entered the land of Canaan in the time of harvest, had the fields that were ripe, ready to be harvested. And so as they served God, then God blessed them. Now, that's not true in the New Testament. While I believe that God blesses us every day, sometimes because of your faith, you may suffer. So we need to be ready to understand that. But especially in the Old Testament, it was somewhat different. Without the fear of the Lord, we don't read the Bible. We close ourselves off from so much good thinking, good revelation, and we don't really understand. You see, America used to be a Bible reading country. And I would say that over 50% of people in America don't read their Bible today. Now, this is the first service of 2019. What we always do, and I've got it at home, but I didn't bring it this morning, is a schedule of Bible reading where you will read the Bible through in 1 year. And I'd like to bring those tonight, if my secretary will remind me. it's a good thing to read the Bible through, because you see the whole picture. And we flirt with evil and be corrupted by it without the fear of the Lord. Without the fear of the Lord, let's go to Las Vegas. Because what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, they say. Without the fear of the Lord, a young couple will commit fornication. Without a fear of the Lord, divorce happens. Without a fear of the Lord, the church buildings are empty. And so these are the things that we understand that. We might have our life shortened because of unclean habits, unclean lifestyle. We'll never know to come to know the love of God. The greatest gift ever given was Jesus Christ, who sent us His Son because of His love. And we'll never be motivated to repent of sin. Today people brag about their sins. You know, some of the Hollywood shows, not too long ago, a few months ago, one of the noted women in the entertainment business said, "I'm a nasty woman." Would that like to be you? "I'm a nasty woman." She bragged about it. And so people have that kind of an attitude when they don't have the fear of the Lord. If you really had the fear of the Lord, you'd never say a thing like that. So we need to understand that. And we'll never be motivated to work out our own salvation. I talked about that last Sunday night. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And so the importance of that is that without the fear of the Lord, we can't serve God. We just can't please God. And Isaiah and the prophets of all talked about that very much. The only one that trembles at God's word has God's promise to receive His mercy. I would You know, if I read the Bible, and I would never say, I'm not going to do that. And the reason I would say not say that is because I respect the Bible, have the fear of the Lord. But so many people reject the Bible and don't have that understanding. In Psalms 103, beginning of verse 17, but the mercy of the Lord from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to such as keep His covenant, to those who remember His commandments to do them. Now please make a personal application to